Lee's Dictionary of Sydney time, and Nicole Karma joins me in the studio. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was a big hubbub over a document at the University of New South Wales talking about the question of invasion.
Yes.
Of how this country originated. And
kind of reigniting the history wars debate.
The debate
that's been going for quite some time.
The white blindfold versus the black armband of history,
yeah.
I think, is kind of the two camps. And so, I mean, that kind of swept up a lot of conversation and that sort of stuff. But you're talking about an event today, which I guess I'm going to guess and say not a whole lot of people would know about.
No.
It's a pretty horrific event in Australia's history anyway.
It was an atrocity, really, a very dark moment in our history. And it was the Appin Massacre, which occurred 200 years ago. On the day, it's going to be exactly 200 years this Sunday on the 17th of April. And in the Dictionary of Sydney, you'll find an interesting article by Professor Grace Karskins, who's actually from the University of New South Wales, about this very, very dark moment. And the area where the massacre occurred, obviously in Appin, is between the Georges and Nepean rivers and towards the deep end of the Cataract River. So basically, Karskins notes that really the onset of this atrocity could probably be traced back to 1814, so a couple of years before the event actually occurred, when three veteran soldiers shot and killed a Gundagara boy who was with a group taking maize, so, you know, the grain that basically makes corn, from a settler's farm. And you know, a soldier was speared in return for that and died and was later mutilated. And so that just basically sparked a chain of revenge attacks between Aboriginal people and some of the settlers. You know, settlers attacked a camp of sleeping people, killing, killing and mutilating an Aboriginal woman and three children, you know, who were basically the family of two Gundagara warriors. You know, in revenge for this killing, a stock keeper and his wife and also the children of another settler were killed at Bringelly. So, you know, I suppose you could say that it was this build up towards this event.
Kind of snowballed.
Yeah, and it was kind of getting to a point where obviously there was some serious there'd always been, I think, tensions between Aboriginal people and the settlers from when they first started arriving in the area from about 1809. But they weren't always kind of hostile kind of relationships. So Governor Macquarie intervened, visiting the area and deciding that Aboriginal payback justice had been undertaken, and that both parties should cease kind of any further reprisal attacks. But this didn't kind of, the violence continued.
Yeah.
With incidents of farms were being robbed, people were being ambushed and speared, and then settlers were responding with their muskets and pistols and pitchforks and kind of conducting their own form of justice. Macquarie ordered, as you know, the newspapers at the time actually never really kind of reported the attacks that were being made on Aboriginal people. It was always kind of the attacks on the settlers. So as a result, Governor Macquarie ordered groups of military personnel to comb the countryside and either capture or kill Aboriginal people with no distinction made between friendly and hostile women and children. So that is actually, I suppose, an important point to note, that those were their orders.
Right.
You know, that came from the top, you know, Governor Lachlan Macquarie. And the bodies of those slain were ordered to be hung up in the trees. And this is a quote, in order to strike the greater terror into the survivors. So to make an example of those that were killed. One of those three parties combed the Hawkesbury, and I suppose they defined it as with no great success, so they didn't kill any Aboriginal people or capture any. And another group went through Camden and killed two Aboriginal warriors and captured a boy as prisoner. While Captain James Wallace led a group through to Appin. And it was in the early hours of the morning of the 17th of April 1816 that the massacre took place. They encountered a camp of Aboriginal men, women and children and immediately opened fire. They killed at least 14. So some historians believe that that number could be much higher. And people were, you know, the account, the report of that event were that people were fled over the cliffs, kind of, I suppose, to get away from the bullets, but actually fell into the gorge and were kind of died when, once they hit the gorge. And so, you know, among the dead, there was an old man, women and children. But there were also two warriors were killed, Dural and Canabayagal, and they were strung up in the trees. And, you know, after that massacre occurred, the Sydney Gazette, which was, you know, the old newspaper of the time, quoted Macquarie, who said, and this is a quote, "Several natives have been unavoidably killed." And wounded, so unavoidably being kind of the key word there. And they had, because, and he said it was because they had not surrendered themselves on being called to do so. Now, one Aboriginal man, William Byrne, recalled that event 90 years after the event occurred, and this was in 1903. So at the time the event occurred, he was about 8 years old, so he witnessed it and said that three people were strung up in the trees on the hill. And the National in 1991, so many years after he gave his account and his account was published, the National Museum of Australia received three skulls from the University of Edinburgh, and they had been in the university in Scotland for 175 years.
Wow.
And they were able to prove that one of the skulls belonged to Canabayagal, the one of the warriors that was strung up. Another one of the others possibly to Dural. And another one to an unnamed woman. So that supports William Byrne's story that possibly three people were strung up in the trees as an example. And Carskins quotes the National Museum curator Mike Pickering, who said, and I think this is quite a nice quote, that the skulls serve as a reminder that the events of the past echo to the present. And I think that's true today, you know, 200 years on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there'll be a lot of, there'll be a commemoration event on Sunday. There's an exhibition at the Campbelltown Arts Centre commemorating the massacre. And it's something to remember this month, I think.
Yeah, and exactly. And like there's so many examples of something similar to what you've just described throughout Australia's history that no one really knows about. And so the more we kind of talk about it and commemorate, I guess, the more people will learn about it, which
definitely is
really important. But yeah, thank you so much. Nicole Kummer from the Dictionary of Sydney for this week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks or so.